Episode 611. Are you continually triggered by your kids' bad behavior? Hi, and welcome to the show where today I'm going to talk about behavior and then us being triggered. And when I originally thought I will do an episode on this, I had it in just one part, but I'm going to split this into two parts. Why? Because there's so much to try and put over to you to help you deal with your kids' quote-unquote bad behavior. And it's too much to try and do in one episode, and I don't want to be talking to you or at you for an hour, which I think it would probably take me. So I'm going to do my best to split it into two kind of 20-minute episodes, which I think is more palatable for you all, given you're all so busy running around, and 20 minutes is a much easier time frame for you to grab some time, sit down and tune in, or go for a walk and tune in, or tune in while you're doing a school drive or coming home from a sports drop-off maybe. So this is a huge subject, and it's something that is so, so important for us as parents to get right. And I'm sitting here thinking, why are you even trying to do this in an hour, or never mind in 40 minutes, 20 minutes and 20 minutes? Because at the end of the day, I wrote a book on this called Parenting the Modern Teen. If you're interested in getting a copy of that, you haven't heard of it, hop over onto my website, www.yourparentingpartner.com, and you'll see in one of the tabs, it says book. And I have written an entire book on the subject, not just on behavior and being triggered, but trying to put it all together to help parents show up in control of themselves in the face of whatever it is their kids might say and do in the moment. So in part one of this two-part mini series, I'm going to talk about behavior. And for those of you who are regular listeners and have tuned in to me, you will have heard me talking about behavior multiple times. But I think every time I talk about it, I put it in a slightly different way. And every time you hear it, you will hear different things, even if you were to listen to the same episode multiple times. Depending on where you are in your learning, you will hear different things, even if the information is exactly the same. I will endeavor to make this a bit different. It will be just purely because I'm in a different space. It's a different day, different time. And so I will put it slightly differently every time. So I have to ask you, what do you think behavior is? What does it signify? What does it mean? I see behavior as a means of communicating our needs, our wishes, our desires. At the end of the day, we behave in certain ways to get what we want. And that sounds very pragmatic. It sounds very dogmatic even. And it almost sounds selfish that we behave in a way to get what we want. But it is really. And as adults, for the most part, we've learned to behave in certain ways that are socially acceptable in order to get what we want. And for kids, through our return behavior to them, they have learned that certain behaviors work and that if they behave certain ways, they will eventually get what they want, and how they're behaving might be socially unacceptable. And they even know that in certain situations, the more of a stink they cause, the more likely we are to cave. And this doesn't bode well for them, because we want our kids to really grow up knowing that it's okay to want something. Like, it's absolutely okay to want something, to desire something, but that there are ways of behaving in order to get it. They also have to realize that sometimes it's not the right place and right time to get what maybe they want. For example, they might be in the supermarket grocery shopping with you and they want candy and they've just come from a party where they've had candy overload. This is not the time or place for you to buy them more candy. Now, if your 4-year-old's on the floor making a song and dance and blowing the roof off the supermarket because they want the Skittles, and you cave, they are seeing you as the captain of the ship, wavering and catering to their needs. They've probably also seen you lose it and then end up catering to their needs and giving them the candy to keep them quiet so you can pick up dinner, get into the car and get home. I hear you. I've done it. We've all done it. But we have to think deeper to what is beneath the behavior, because that's where you really can work out what is going on and we can really help our kids learn. But if we become triggered by their behavior and we can't control ourselves and we lose our shit, what are we role modeling to them? And from this place of madness and craziness and anger and frustration, we cannot act rationally. We can't do what we know our kids actually need, which is for us to be calm in the moment and see them, hear them, and help them understand that we understand them and we're actually on the same page as them. We need to help them to understand and learn how to tolerate frustration, how to delay gratification. But at the same time, the key piece is helping them understand it's okay for them to want the candy. It's okay to want things. But they have to learn that you can't have the candy today. So rather than us losing our shit with them, we need to stay calm, take a breath. And the only way we can do that repeatedly is for us to do our own work and reclaim our worth so that we don't become triggered by them in the first place. And that's what I'm going to be talking about next week on the show. Part two. Really, what is it that's triggering you? Because in that example, your kid screaming and shouting because they want the candy, it's actually not your child screaming and shouting that's triggering you. It is an experience within you that you have experienced in your childhood where perhaps you are not seen and heard by your parents. And when your child today is not seeing and hearing you, it is triggering you. But it's not the child that's triggering you. It's the fact you're not being seen and heard by your child when you're saying you can't have the candy, we're not having candy, and they're pulling candy off the shelves, and you're getting wound up, you lose your shit with them. So it's two part. We have to be able to deal with the behavior in the moment, and we have to prepare ourselves to be able to deal with the behavior well, and that is done by us doing our work. And I'm not going to go into that today. So if this intrigues you, make sure you tune in next week to get part two. So in the first instance, how do we then talk about our kids when they are behaving, quote unquote, badly? Because if we label them as, you're such a bad boy, you never do what you're told, or you say to your daughter, be a good girl like your sister, or be a good girl like your brother, we are forcing them to have a belief about themselves that if they hear it often enough and they're told they're a bad boy, bad girl, they will believe themselves to be a bad boy or a bad girl. If we continually tell them to be a good girl or a good boy, they will identify with pleasing you, obeying you, don't rock the boat, I've got to be a good girl, I've got to be a good boy, and this is good. This is not good either. So we have to be very careful about labeling the behavior, because eventually, when we do that often enough, our kids will identify with the label that we have put upon them as a result of the behavior that they have chosen. So we don't want that. So you might have heard me talking in the past about how we have to separate the deed from the doer. In other words, you are having a hard time in the moment. This behavior is unacceptable. You're not saying you are unacceptable and you are bad. We're saying the behavior is unacceptable and the behavior is bad, but you are not bad for behaving that way. There is a big difference. We do not want to label our kids as bad girls, bad boys, good girls, good boys, class clowns, whatever it is we might label them as being. We want to recognize them for who it is they are and help them understand that they've chosen a behavior that is not desirable in the moment. It is not socially acceptable. So they can see and feel you love them, but you don't love the behavior. So we have to help them understand that we see them and we see their want. We see their desire. I know you really want the Skittles, my sweetheart, but you can't have the Skittles right now. And it's really hard when you can't have what you want. It's okay for you to want them. There will be another time when we can have them. So you see them, hear them, validate their feeling, and do all that detached, savvy mum stuff that I've talked about in previous episodes, the emotion coaching. Now, does it mean your kid's going to go, okay, mum, I see that you see me. I'm not going to shout anymore. And I get that I'll get Skittles next week because today I've been at a party and I can't have any more candy. No, they're probably not going to say that. But at least if they feel seen and heard, and that you are recognizing their wants and desires and wishes as being completely reasonable, but you're helping them delay gratification, tolerate the frustration of not being able to eat candy exactly when they want, every time, when they want, and you're being the captain of the ship. You have to be steadfast. But you don't need to be rude to them. You don't need to label them. You don't need to make them feel bad for the fact that they're creating an emotional outburst in the store. No, the worst thing we can do is shame them and label the behavior and tell them they're bad for behaving that way. There's a huge, huge difference. So we have to really be able to show up in control of ourselves so that we can manage all these various behaviors that our kids choose to put on for us, to try and get them what they want. So, you know, they might have chosen a less than desirable behavior. They might have hit their sister. She might have thrown her food. So what I want you to do, I heard this on an episode with Mel Robbins when she was interviewing Dr. Becky, and it was a fantastic episode. And in the show notes, I will put the episode because there were so many valuable bits of information to help parents in the moment. So in the moment, what you think of your child when they have behaved badly is key. Because if you think of them as being a spoiled brat who never listens, or a little shit because he just wants the candy and he's just been to the party and how ungrateful he is, that is not going to allow you to show up in control of yourself and therefore help your child choose a different behavior. Neither is it going to help them calm down. So in your mind, rather than labeling them negatively, I want you to use this phrase, and this is Dr. Becky's phrase, not mine. You say, he is a good kid who hit his sister. He is a good kid who happened to throw his food. So when you do that, it helps you see your kid for who your kid truly is, which is a good kid. I believe all kids are good. Every child has good intention. So when you think that way, it helps you separate the deed from the doer. It helps you separate the behavior from the child. Your child's a good kid. They just want the candy and they're behaving badly to try and get the candy because they know historically, based on previous behaviors, the worse they behave and the more of a scene they make, they're probably more likely to get the candy. So we need to change that around. To change it, you have to change your thinking. Your child's a good kid. They're choosing the wrong behavior, whether it be they hit their sister, threw their food, want the candy, whatever it is. You can also do the same for yourself. And this is what Dr. Becky recommended as well. You can say, I'm a good parent who momentarily lost my shit. I'm a good parent who shouted at my child. I'm a good parent who blamed my child. So you're helping yourself see that you are a good parent at heart, because I believe everybody is a good person at heart. We have to assume positive intention. And from that, it keeps you connected to being compassionate, and it will help you be curious. He's a good kid who hit his sister. I wonder why. What drove him to hit his sister? What drove her to have an Oscar-winning performance on the supermarket floor to get the candy? What drove that? So when we can show up mindful, which is open to the present moment as it unfolds, with no judgment, but with kindness, openness, curiosity, kindness, and compassion, we can then keep control of ourselves and therefore be able to respond better to our kids' bad behavior in the moment. I hope you can understand that, and I hope that makes sense. So in two parts, we have to do two things. We have to face the music in the heat of the moment. And to do that, we have to control ourselves, and we have to role model good behavior to our kids and help our kids understand that sometimes they can't get what they want, that the world doesn't revolve around them, that they have to be able to be patient, delay gratification, tolerate frustration. These are life skills our kids have to learn. And we are the role models. We are their teachers. We can influence them into developing the life skills that they need so that they can show up and change the behavior maybe next time. They'll only do it if we manage what we see, i.e. the behavior they're showing us in front of us. They'll only be able to change their behavior if we change ours. So until we don't lose our shit with them, we don't shout at them, we don't blame them or shame them or guilt them or deal with it in the way that we historically have at times in our quote-unquote bad moments, our bad parenting moments, if we can lessen those and increase the times we can show up in control of ourselves, it will be better. It's never good when we lose our shit, shout at them, blame them, guilt them out. It's never good. It never bodes well. We disconnect from our kids when we do that, and we can't give them what they need. We can't meet their needs. We can't see, hear, or understand them. And therefore, they believe themselves to be bad or not worthy of anything, or they feel we've abandoned them, rejected them. We don't want our kids to feel this. So the way in which we deal with behavior, how we see it, our view of it, how we can cope with it, is absolutely critical if we want our kids to grow up and be adults who are less triggered by life. It goes hand in hand. So next week, I'll talk about the trigger piece of it. In other words, the prep work we have to do to be able to show up untriggered. Because the trigger is not our kids. The trigger is a past experience that lies within us that is woken up by a current experience of our kids perhaps not listening, being disrespectful, and behaving badly, and how that makes us feel. And those feelings are being stirred from way, way, way back when we felt similarly as kids. Probably sounds very complicated, but hopefully I will be able to unravel that for you in next week's episode. I have talked about this before, but maybe just hearing it this way today will help you understand it a bit more. And if you have any questions, you can always reach out to me at louise@yourparentingpartner.com, or you can DM me on Instagram, louiseclark.ypp. Go follow me on Instagram if you haven't already. And also, I do always thank those of you who head over to the platform you tune in on and rate and review this show, because it will help other parents get the support that they need. And many parents are struggling right now. So I like to help as many people as I can with this information. And the whole subject of behavior is a very complex one. And to try and deal with it in 20 minutes is a tall order, but hopefully I've given you lots of information today on the subject of behavior and labeling behavior and how we can deal with it better. And next week, I will continue and hopefully help you be able to show up more in control of yourself in the moment, regardless of whatever it is your kids say or do. So thank you so much for listening. I hope that you will tune in again next week. And I hope that you will head over onto iTunes, Spotify, or the other podcast platforms you listen to and rate and review the show if you haven't done so already. So thanks again. Till next time. Bye for now.